Welcome all. So glad to have you here. I'm Don Shelton. I'm a council member elected to District 3 and was assigned by the council to serve as mayor pro tem for this meeting. And so I'll be conducting the meeting while our mayor is unavailable. We wish her well and hope to see her soon. We are here with four of the five members of our city council. Council member Zander is on her way and will be here a little later in the meeting. We'll move ahead to stay on our timeline tonight. We're also grateful to have our senior staff here with us and many staff members attending, and also grateful to have members of the youth council here. Raise your hands, youth council members. Let's see. Okay. One. All right.
But mighty.
Yeah. That's great to have you here. Thanks for attending, and we appreciate your service in the city. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation by council member Jason McGuire.
Our dear Father in heaven, we come before thee with gratitude to be able to meet together and to be able to participate in our form of government. We pray for thy guidance that we may be able to be civil and to make wise decisions. And these things, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Mayor and council coordination. We have a second youth council member. Welcome. Now our lonely youth council member isn't so lonely anymore, so that's great. Do we have anything we need to coordinate, council?
I was just going to draw everyone's attention to the emails that Mel sent for various activities. So if you haven't checked your email recently, just make
sure. There's a bunch.
Yeah. Different city events that are coming up.
Right. Anything else? Any coordination from the staff at this time, or do we want to wait till staff reports?
Yeah, I was just going to echo Councilman McGuire. Check your emails. We put a whole bunch of stuff on your calendars. There's also this weekend the Get Into the River events, and South Jordan is participating. And I'll mention that a little later tonight as well.
That's great. Thank you. All right. Moving on from mayor and council coordination, let's review the agenda for this evening. So we'll begin, we don't begin our agenda this evening with the best dental office land use action items, but it's early in the agenda. It's right after our mayor and council reports time. So My intention is to just do a little review of the history from last week, kind of bring us up to speed as to where we are, and then ask for a motion. And then we'll have deliberation following whatever motion may arise. Does that feel okay to you guys?
Do we really want to make a motion before we discuss the issues?
I think that we have a history of deliberating and then making a motion and then saying the same thing again. But I'm at your disposal. If you guys would rather deliberate first than have a motion.
Well, putting in context of like our last meeting, we had our public hearing and then we opted to table it without discussion amongst
right,
the council.
Right, we did not have
so I almost feel like we should just pick up with the discussion.
So you'd like to deliberate before
the
motion.
Deliberation. That way, if anyone has questions for the developer, we can ask those just like we would as if we were had continued right after.
Developer staff, maybe.
Yeah, developer staff questions.
Okay.
That we typically have before we would actually move to a motion.
Okay.
And I have a list of 21 things that were brought up by the members of the public through either emails or the different
in
bodies.
In public hearings.
In public hearings.
Yeah.
And I think that since it's such a hot item, we maybe should try to address each one of them, at least touch base so that they know that we have taken everything into consideration that's important to them.
Before there's any type of motion made.
Well, and I think you're talking about two different things. In Robert's rules, and we do modify it as you want. One, there's deliberations, which generally happen to a motion. Two, there's follow-up with the applicant after public hearing to ask all those questions and get to where you're comfortable to then make a motion to have deliberations. Sometimes that talking to the applicant stems into some discussion, but then you'll notice typically the mayor at that point will say, it sounds like we're starting to discuss it. Does anybody have a motion? And that's where it goes. And so that's kind of like what you're describing is what we usually do. But you'll notice the mayor will ask for a motion pretty early on once it goes from talking to the applicant to talking to each other.
Well, but we haven't, since we moved to move it, I just think having a motion from the very beginning would kind of gives the impression we've already made up our minds.
Yeah, you know, you need to talk to the applicant with your questions.
Okay,
open up for questions first, right? So yeah, the applicant, the city staff.
Yep. So let's say that I give a little summary on how we got to where we are tonight. Not a lengthy history, but just from last week, how we got to where we are tonight. And then I'll open it for questions for staff or the applicant with council. And so we can do that as soon as we have exhausted those questions and so forth and are starting to get to a place where we're stating how we feel about the situation, then I'll ask for a motion at that point. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah.
You're gonna let people know that we've already had the public hearing. That's your plan to kind of walk through that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that feel okay to you?
Huh?
There's gonna be disappointment.
That's gonna be a hard, I understand why. but there might be some people that don't like that. But I understand the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that's why in the last meeting I stated that they would not be, so that they would know.
Yeah, I think in the last meeting we talked about that a little bit, that there would not be an additional public hearing. So, okay. All right. So I feel good about that approach, and looks like you guys are on board with that as well. So we'll move forward that way. Then we have an action item to 2025-38.
It's a franchise agreement with Enbridge Gas.
Yeah. Do any of you have any questions on that for here, or would you like to make the questions if you have any in the next meeting? What's your pleasure?
I'm okay in the next meeting.
Okay.
It's very similar to franchise agreements that we've had with them before. It's just this one's expired. We're renewing it, similar to what we have with the other utility companies. So.
Well, now you just spoiled it. You answered my question.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Ironically, we come right back to back with Rocky Mountain Powers that we did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we just did that.
And I mentioned I had the opportunity with senior staff before our meeting here to kind of prep me up. I mentioned that I would like to have them come back and talk to us about, what they're doing to improve safety in our city and that sort of thing. And, obviously they're not going to talk about situations that are under litigation, I think we'll get them into a work session before too long and have a little conversation with them, get to meet their new government affairs person. So anyway, then we have a public hearing on resolution 2025-46, and that is?
That's the CDBG, that annual plan review and things. Ms. Olson's not here right now. She will be here for the meeting. She'll walk you through the review of that plan. I know you'd asked a question. We've got the team making sure they have the answer for you on that.
So, okay. Any other questions on the CDBG? Apparently there'll be another public hearing later on once there are applications for the money, you know, from some of our vendors that we've used in the past. Okay, and then we have a special public hearing on the water bond. And so this one's kind of interesting. There's a public hearing, but there's no vote. So we already had our vote a few weeks ago. And we'll maybe just have Sunil introduce real quickly what it is and why we're holding this public hearing. And then we'll go ahead and have the public hearing and hear from the public. And once the public hearing's done or exhausted, I'll close it and we'll be done with that. And that's the end of our meeting.
You didn't have anything to add to that, did you, Sunil?
No, that would be it, yeah.
Remember, the resolution that you passed started us down the path to do this. This is just another of those steps, is to now gather the public input on that. So, and that's all we do tonight. We gather the public input, and then that goes into the...
When did we pass that resolution? When was that?
A month ago.
Four weeks back. It was the first meeting. It was August 5th.
I guess
5th.
30 days ago.
Yeah, it was August 5th.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm. August 5th. Okay. All right. Great. Okay. And so that brings us then to our discussion with Horizon Fieldstone Homes. Mr. Priest.
Two gentlemen up with me from Fieldstone. Andy Smith, who
Hello.
I've worked with for many years in other capacities.
Yeah.
In a more economic development role. And I'm sorry.
Jared Payne. Yeah. Also with Fieldstone.
So there you have a presentation, which this is kind of our typical starting of a development agreement and a overlay zone. This property is up by the Front Runner Station, just south of the Alpha. So, if you want to go ahead and...
Yeah, you guys look so good. I was just in a planning commission meeting, and I kid you not, one of the commissioners was wearing sunglasses in the meeting. So, this is refreshing to see so many times. We're with Fieldstone Homes. It's been a while since we've done an entitlement in South Jordan. Our last deal was last year, but it was finished lots out in Daybreak. So we've built in your city, but it's been quite a while since we've actually entitled anything. We're one of the larger local builders, locally owned and operated. Our offices are right here in Draper. Everything we do is for sale. So we look at raw land. We love paper. We love finished lots, but we do raw land as well, where we take it like this and we entitle it. But the end goal is always to get to a home buyer. And this property is no different than that. My background is acquisitions and kind of project management. Randy does all of our entitlements. He is a civil engineer by trade, and we, for the most part, do most of our engineering in-house, and then we go out when it's time to actually pass concept and get into actual plans. But we're lucky enough to have Randy, and so any technical questions, I'll defer to him. But this is our 2.5-acre site. It's an excess site from the apartment complex, and they just stockpiled their dirt on it. So we have a massive export that we're going to have to do to get to it. I've spoken with a couple of the council members. They all invited me to speak with the Jordan River Commission, including Council Member Shelton was nice enough to offer an introduction. We are far enough away and up on the slope that we're not down in the flats of it, but we still want to go touch base. We haven't yet, but we want to touch base with them to make sure they know what our plan is. We're about 800 feet from the river itself, but we are adjacent to the federal land there on the west side. And then, yeah, we're 1,000 feet from the Front Runner Station, and we fall inside of your station area plan. And
which was just approved by the Wasatch Front Regional Council last Thursday.
Yeah, so just freshly approved. We're one of the few sites that hasn't been developed yet inside that plan. Even though we're zoned commercial freeway, the future land use inside the station area plan shows us as attached residential, and mostly because of its proximity to that Front Runner Station. When you're 1,000 feet away, this will be one of the only opportunities the city has to do something that really is focused on being transit oriented, at least in front of that one station. Some of the notes with that were passed this last Thursday. This is some of the objectives and the goals and the strategy. I bring this up because we want some feedback from you ultimately of how much focus you want to put on this new station area plan, because there are contradictions between ordinance and the plan. And you know, our assumption would be that the station area plan would dictate what direction, but you know, a lot of what we're going to ask, because it's a development agreement, you know, it's going to need some of your insight, and ultimately you guys will have the say in what that looks like. So, but some of these, obviously with it being so close to the Front Runner Station, you know, one of the objectives is supply owner occupied housing, which of course we, with a focus on attainable, whatever that means, right, in the current climate, and then promote infill development, which of course we're very much the definition of infill. And then the one thing I wanted to point out in the strategy that stationary plan talks about is looking for opportunities to reduce parking ratios and requirements for completely enclosed parking, which we hope that our plan meets. So this is what our current concept looks like. It's all attached townhouses. You can see here some of the units, because of the slope, imagine it, you know, down low on the left end, raising up. So there's about a 30, 35 foot grade difference from the west side going up to the east side. So it'll, for us, it'll cascade nicely for views. So pretty much every one of these lots is gonna have a view facing from east to west. And some of them, because of that slope, we're trying to dig in and build into that slope as much as possible to use the actual buildings as retaining. So imagine kind of foundations and basements doing our retaining for us as it goes up the slope. And that's why some of these units will have backyards, and then some of them will be rear loaded because of how they fit into that slope. But you can see all the ones that are considered the downhill units have their own private backyards, and then of course you got rear loads into the units themselves, and then they all have short driveways, but there's a tiny little driveway, and then attached garage parking for each individual unit. One of the things as we spoke to all the council members we were able to talk to, one of the big comments was parking. And even more important than that was usable open space was what we were told. Now, we don't have a massive site, right? It's only 2.5 acres, so it's not like there's a real big opportunity for a real massive amenity, but we did want to add, we have a little community trail, there is a dog park, and then some picnic tables and viewing areas on that west side open space. We were recently able to kind of shake hands with our neighbor to the east about a secondary fire access that hasn't been built out. That was just recent, like as of last week, but we are going to be able to get a secondary fire access on that northern side there. And then just to give you an idea of perspective, because this was also something staff said, hey, just so you know, there's been some heartache from some of the residents. And I think they came up in a couple of conversations with some of the city council members we spoke with. There was some heartache from the residents on the other side of the Jordan River over by Mulligan's about how obtuse the apartment complex is next to us and how it kind of shattered some views there. Just by the nature of our product itself, it's not, you know, we're not going to be a big, massive, ugly, you know, thing on the other side of, you know, big structured parking lot. It's going to look a lot like this. So staff asked us to put something together to show how, and this also shows how, like I was saying, some of these are going to get backyards and some won't, but it will just, it will cascade nicely. And we have, we've built in the hillside before. Recently, that project in the lower right there, that's in, though it cascades kind of laterally, that was in Lehigh. We just recently finished that project, and then we got another one up in Park City too. And we got some other photos of other recently. This is the interior of our project up in Park City. And then we got some other elevations. That's the one in Lehigh. That's in Park City. So these are some of the like last 12 months, some of the projects we've done.
Well done. Okay. Can we answer questions for you? What do you think about the idea?
How many units were there?
I think it's 35 as shown. I think that the fire access might cut it to 34 to get that access in that corner.
Mr. Harris, this is in your district there. Do you have any?
So is it 2.5 acres? Did I hear that right?
Yep,
correct. Right. So 13.6 units to the, if I'm doing the math right.
Correct, yep.
Yeah, I mean, so I understand there's not a lot of room for additional amenities. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, I mean, I guess they can walk down to the Jordan River Trail. But, you know, I think it's nice that people can go outside. And that viewing area right there, is that all going to be grass? Or the picnic table and viewing area, is that all going to be grass? Is it relatively level right there? Or is it not level?
It's not level. It's quite steep, actually.
Okay.
So that would be like coming downstairs, and we'd have to level out some pads with some small retaining walls in order to accomplish even getting a picnic table on. I mean, it's quite, as it exists today, it's a steep slope down.
So you wouldn't see any be able to put any grass in that area at all for like people to.
I mean, however big of a pad we create to put like I said, picnic tables or something on, that could be a flattened grass area. The hard part with that is maintenance and how do you get a lawnmower down to it and things like that. So there's some consideration to that, but any flat area would have to be created with retaining walls. There's definitely a lot of slope, on that side.
Yeah, I think as we're looking at higher density, I mean, anytime we're this council, I mean, you know, we've discussed density, you know, there's been something about, you know, open space, green space, you know, that usually comes along with it. And so I understand it's not an easy thing to do.
The biggest piece we have is the dog park. You know, that part is flat.
I get that. You know, and one of your neighbors that's going to be building, you know, just to the north, you know, that they're going to have on the area that's approaches the river, they're going to have some green space, you know, that where people can get out, you know, on some grass as well. So I mean, it can be done.
Is there a proposed development to the north
that's
of this?
The DAI.
Oh, DAI is.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the
altitude.
Altitude.
Yeah,
Yeah, they're condos and towns, right?
Yes.
130, something like that, units. Or is it
22, I think.
Okay.
But there's condos, towns, and some single.
And some single family.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly.
And you could, you know, and you might want to look to see kind of what they've done over there to be able to, you know, to be able to, because they're on that same hillside, you know, what they're doing to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they're quite a bit bigger scale than we are. I haven't seen that plan. I'd have to look at it.
Yeah, they
250 units.
They go down into the flat land, right, which has caused a lot of the problems that, you know, with how close they got to the Jordan River.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with you. I love a good place to throw a frisbee.
Yeah.
And we're just battling land prices, as you guys always hear. I know.
Yeah.
Cliche, right? And trying to get the units to make it work.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you're asking me, that's the biggest issue I have with this here is just the lack of green space. And so I know I understand, you know, it's going to be a little bit of engineering to be able to make that happen, but I think that's an important part to me on this project.
Yeah, usable open space would be
key
to me for any type of high density, or higher density projects that come before the city council. With the altitude project being just north of you, I'd also like to see if there's a way to connect your community trail. They're going to have some type of trailhead coming up. I believe it was right along that property line. And so.
Oh, it's further.
They're not adjacent.
Oh, they're not just adjacent.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
That's why I was asking. I thought you were talking about something adjacent.
Okay, I thought it was
ultra
adjacent.
Ultra.
Oh, that's the ultra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They've got some raw land, and then they've got their campus.
Oh,
and
okay.
then
the,
a couple other smaller ones.
I was thinking that was right next to it. So then to me, having some type of additional open space is even more critical because if people aren't going to be able to connect easily into the Jordan River Trail, it makes it a lot more challenging for people to get out and recreate in that area. I was just even looking at it. I know it affects your units, but if these two were even eliminated and that became some type of open space area, and then you got your dog park right there still as well. But you guys have to figure out your unit counts and making it all work. But
and this is good feedback. And we're also juggling the fact that it is, you know, unlike a lot of the bedroom type community, and South Jordan for the most part is a bedroom community, that this is a little closer to a transit oriented one. It's order. And by the way, we don't have a dog in that fight necessarily, but that is the tightrope we're walking, right? Is how much do we want this to look like Daybreak versus it looking more transit oriented? And I don't have an answer. I'm just, that's
why
some of the questions.
Why does it have to look like Daybreak at all? I don't understand.
No, I don't think we're not going for that. But
well, I just don't understand that comparison. Like, why? What do you mean by that? Like, it looking like Daybreak?
Just with a lot of open space.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And we don't have the scale, right? So the question, and this is a question for you guys, is, I mean, what, as far as an amenity, what more would you like to see, or what were you thinking?
Well, I just think in general, I mean, you're going to have people, you're going to have families that are going to be moving into these things, and so people are going to be able, you know, as Mr. McGuire was saying, you know, have a direct access to, the trails, the Jordan River Trail. People are going to want to be able to get out and riding around there. You've got commercial businesses around you, so it's not like you're going to have something for the kids to get out there and move around, or just any, or even the adults. And you could still have something with the transit oriented feel. And I appreciate you going there and educating us on what a station area plan is and why this makes sense. We're familiar with that, but you know. But some green space is going to be important on this thing.
So like a tot lot?
We don't necessarily need playground. I mean, that's an option. I mean, if you want to put that in. But, you know, there just needs to be an area, you know, for people to move around and go out and spread out. That's the reason I'm saying this area up here, you know, would be ideal. I understand it's going to have to be engineered somehow to be able to do it, but that's certainly... would be nice if that was, you know, flattened out, you know, green space. And, you know, and I understand it's going to take retaining walls to be able to do all that.
How tall would the retaining wall have to be, dude?
Yeah,
well, if you wanted to make all of that green, you're looking at probably 30 feet tall. And that's honestly a no-go. Like, that'd be a massive wall. And then we would have our units loading into the wall. So we can't do that.
Okay.
Like what we're looking at here would be like landscape walls. You know, they might be 3 or 4 feet tall, just to create a pad that's twice the size of this table, right? It's a steep slope. It's not a very usable space.
Yeah.
Definitely
along that western edge there,
mm-hmm.
to
make that grass flat would require about a 30-foot retaining wall. Is that, am I understanding?
That's my estimation, yeah.
Well, that probably
even after we cut out material off of that, that top of that.
Well, then maybe that doesn't make sense in a bit, but nonetheless.
Yeah,
we don't want a 30-foot.
It's hard. Yeah. I know we're just looking.
Well, and this is the first we're hearing the details on it, too. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't do any engineering on this.
It's right where that property is. It has that huge retaining wall.
That's what that building is. Everybody hates that.
Yeah, those buildings.
Yeah. And so that's what they're dealing with.
Is there wall underneath those buildings? And if you look like, so what it is, on this property, it's really steep right in here, and then it's pretty flat. But on this one, they took all this excess dirt that they had, and they piled it right here.
Yeah.
And it's undocumented fill, so we have to remove a lot of that and get it down, and that's kind of how we,
because it's not packed,
right? It's like, yeah, we can't build on it without, right? So we've looked at like, what does it take to remove all that dirt? Can it be reused or not, taken somewhere else, and then stagger down? Because this is actually pretty flat up here right now, but we got to carve out a whole bunch of material to make this a usable site. I guess anybody who wants to build here would have to do that. Whether it's a condo building or, you know, more dense use or just our 34, 35 units, it's the same struggle.
Kind of been from the...
Let me float an idea and just see how it feels to you guys. What if, as Mr. McGuire suggested, it dropped a couple of those units out that are close to the dog park? And, you know, you design it how you want, of course, but a suggestion. And then you made some units in there somewhere, wherever it makes sense to you, made them condos. And so you picked up the same density.
Just some up and downs.
Do some stacked flats.
Yeah. Picked up a similar density.
That's an interesting thought, yeah.
But you've created some open space there. And you've got, I mean, those apartment buildings right there are tall anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think a stacked condo would be a problem as far as elevation,
especially along
goes.
That side.
Yeah.
Well, and if we found the right spot, you could even load. Well, I guess you couldn't suspend you wouldn't want to suspend a garage, but you could load at different levels, right? Because of how slopey it is.
Yeah.
Because the slope would tear away, and so that would expose your parking underneath that.
That's even how some of these buildings currently work. You park in the basement, front doors on the first floor, because just of the height difference on the roads. When it goes to the feel of the community, this is South Jordan, we wanted to do a high-end townhome, you know, something nice, and it's a good place for a high quality.
Actually, I think if you do these market rate, high end, nice townhomes like you're talking about, and you throw in a piece of condo that we can get closer to affordable, well.
How do you guys define affordable? You follow the state rules of 120% of the county AMI? That's the state's definition now. Is that what the city's following? Curious.
I don't know. It depends on if we're putting like RDA money to it. Then it's 80%. But
so that's the moderate income housing,
right?
So that's
the attainable housing. You know, 120%. But we're not participating in that anyway. So I don't know that it really matters.
Yeah,
other than
right.
That's
I'm
a,
just thinking
goal,
something
if
that's
a goal of the council. Lower,
less expensive. You know that.
Median income.
Is there
something that qualifies at least for the governor's first-time home buyer? What, $450,000? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that a price point you as a council would like to see, $450,000? That's good
information. I don't think we necessarily have a set price, but, I mean, it allows at least the first-time home buyer, whatever that threshold is.
And we're not saying $450,000 for all these units. We're just saying if there's, you know, it's based on what Mr. Shelton was saying, as if you pulled out some of those units and to get, you know, and you added some condos in there and you had some condos in that, you know, that could make sense.
Okay.
So
is this all in the goal of getting open space?
Well,
or is it the goal of getting
I really like.
It's pulling, always all of the above.
Yeah, I like pulling both those levers if we can, you know. So maybe we've got a little more open space and we've got some more affordable housing, you know.
And I think your open space or your amenities should be based on who you perceive that you are going to be marketing to and who's going to be buying these homes. I mean, if you're going after first-time home buyers who are going to have small children, then you you should have amenity for the children.
I don't think this is first-time home buyer. Even as a townhome in South Jordan, I don't think this is first-time home buyer territory. Land so expensive, the cost of removing all the dirt, right? Just the cost.
But you should match your amenities to who's going to be your prospective buyer.
For sure.
How many bedrooms are you thinking in these units?
It's mostly threes. That's where most of our existing plan sets have three bedrooms.
What type of square footage would that probably be?
Finished would be about 1,600-ish.
We have different size units in here.
They're good size. That's what I'm just
wondering. Yeah, there are some units that are wider than others.
Plus a base and unfinished basement. Yeah, so probably
about half of that's basement and the other half garage.
Yeah.
Some of them will need to be finished. Anytime we walk out like that on that small of a unit, we like to finish the basements.
Yeah.
And we would assume that, kind of to your point, if there is a young family who comes in, they probably select one of those units that's got the dedicated backyard, it's fenced, and but message received. We'll find some more open space. Usable open space.
We're being very flexible with you here. We're usually harder.
Tamara's not here.
Tamara's sake, where's the pickleball?
We swap out dog park for the pickleball.
Yeah, we may find room for one if that's important.
Yeah. So,
do you guys have a noise ordinance around pickleball courts yet?
Not yet. Just a regular noise ordinance. Not specific.
I heard they changed the balls, so it's not as bad.
You know, I tried one of the quiet balls the other day, and I don't like it personally. But
I think it must be pretty good if you can tell the difference.
Yeah, it's just different. I don't know. It's fun. I'm all about let's do it. Let's put it. Yeah, it's just hard. We're trying to, the affordability component, density plays heavily into that. More units we take out, that means the same infrastructure, we got to build it, and it's got to be divided between less units, right?
Sure.
So increasing costs. So you guys get it. You deal with this.
Mm-hmm. You guys are close. Just Just fine tune it.
Yeah. I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Any other?
You feel okay with what you've heard from the council here?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we didn't just say, oh, yeah, we love it, go with it, but give you some feedback.
Yeah.
So.
And I would even play around with where your picnic tables are and that. If the cost of making that is so prohibitive that having the same amount of open space inside your project makes more sense.
Trading it off somewhere. Yeah, we can look at that for sure.
It is going to be nice that area right there. If we can utilize it, it's going to have just panoramic views if we can get down to it. And
well, and having views down into that wildlife preserve
is a premium.
I've wished that we had that for a long time in our city, honestly.
Those other streets.
So. I'm excited for you to do it.
We would love to do it.
Yeah. Anything else?
We'll move forward then, see what they can come up with, and we'll keep guiding them. So.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for considering building in our city. Appreciate it.
Oh, we'd love to.
Yeah, thanks for the feedback.
All right. Anything else, council? Staff, I think we can adjourn. I'll take a motion here in a moment, but just want to say let's get the 6:30 start time dead on.
Oh, yep. There should be no excuse.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right on money.
Oh, exactly so. Exactly so. Let's hit it dead on.
And originally we had a different item scheduled, but they weren't ready and they called the state last week and asked to be removed from this agenda. And we didn't have time to reschedule somebody, and they're coming back now in October, and they're going to be more prepared and ready for a discussion. So that's why we ended up with a gap tonight.
Okay.
We're good. Thank you.
All right. I'll take a motion.
I'll move that we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're out of here.